Hi, I'm Carolyn Elliott.
Oh, and I'm Layla Bernard.
And you're listening to the Sleepover Podcast, and we are here with Layla's husband, Rory.
Hi.
And also my husband, David. We're hanging out on a summer Friday night while my kids are at their granddad's. I don't know what you did with your kids.
Walter's at a birthday party.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we saw the Barbie movie the other night.
We saw the Barbie movie.
I didn't see it yet.
David didn't see it.
He was boycotting it.
Yes.
I actually had kids.
Yeah. Something like that. So, yeah, and it was an interesting experience. And I feel like I hadn't seen such a big phenomenon in terms of, like, you know, the first theater we went to, it was sold out.
That hasn't happened since, like, Titanic. I was shocked.
Flocks of ladies in pink and guys in little surfer outfits.
I saw a guy in a pink suit.
Yeah. I saw a guy in an incredible flamingo print outfit, short and shirt.
The Barbies and the Kens were out in force.
They were out in force. And I guess what we were just reflecting on, it's interesting, I feel like it has struck a chord in the collective consciousness. And there is something about the film that is like, you know, sort of like rah-rah feminist, which was very surprising to me because growing up, I guess, in the 90s and like the Riot Girl era, like Barbie was very much held up as like this super regressive, like body dysmorphia torture symbol of like non-feminism.
Right. That's what I can't understand about this movie is like, did it know what it was about? Like, I can't tell the degree to which it was jagging on itself or like I found it to be stunningly honest, but I'm not sure what it thought about itself.
Yes, the self-reflective quality of it is unclear, or like, as I would say, sort of like it seemed like the authorial or the directorial perspective was kind of like being very honest but like not realizing the full extent of its own honesty and like not fully integrating that into the ending.
It was like a Freudian slip of a movie.
Yeah.
This is all very abstract. For people who haven't seen the movie, maybe you could give us some examples.
Okay,
well, yeah. So like Carolyn was saying, like when we grew up, Barbie was like a symbol of, the unrealistic expectations on girls.
That they should, like, be incredibly desirable and have this, like, super slender yet curvy body type and...
Right, just, like, the impossible body standard was, so like, Barbie.
Girls wouldn't feel good unless they had an unhealthy body... Well, they had this unhealthy body image, and they wouldn't feel good unless they were...
Yeah, and obviously it wasn't just Barbie who was responsible for that. It was also, like, every magazine ever, and now it's, like, every social media influencer.
Right.
Well, it's reflected by one of the characters in, like, a high school girl in the movie is, like, you set us back 50 years.
Right.
But that same high school girl says insanely misogynistic, crazy things.
Yes. Yes. And so, like, in the reality of Barbie Land, the Barbies all believe that they are, like, feminist icons who are, like, uplifting all girls everywhere and, like, creating utopia for all girls by showing that all girls could be Nobel Prize winning physicists and president and veterinarian and doctor and lawyer.
Because Barbie did eventually have those jobs. Like, the first Barbie doll was, like, a teen fashion model. But then, like, into the 80s, I guess, like, Barbie started becoming, you know, a doctor and a veterinarian and an astronaut and, you know, congresswoman and all this
stuff. Barbie can do anything, just like all little girls can do everything. And so in the Barbie Land reality, they're like, empowerment. Like, that's what we're all about, is empowerment. We're making the world better for little girls. And so, yeah, so in the plot of the movie, stereotypical Barbie starts thinking about death and having her, like, totally chipper attitude eroded, and weird Barbie tells her that she has to go to the real world to find the little girl whose consciousness she's merging with and is giving her these, like, bad thoughts in order to, like, fix the problem.
But I feel like we should talk a little bit, for David's sake, about Barbie World.
Yeah, so it's like everybody's living in a Barbie dream house, but the houses belong to the Barbies. And the Kens are just very much accessories for the Barbies. They don't have their own houses. They don't have their own jobs.
Right,
they don't
like,
have their own vehicles.
And there's, like, the line very early where it's, like, Barbie's having her best day ever. Every day. Every day is Barbie's best day. But Ken only has a good day if Barbie looks at him. And, like, Ken is just, like, and all the, you know, males in Barbie Land are Kens. Just, like, all the females are Barbies. And so all the Kens are just, like, trying to get Barbie to pay attention to them.
So it's the inverse of
yes.
healthy polarity in the real world.
Okay.
I think, well, Layla and I had a really good conversation about it in the car afterwards. And one thing I remember you saying was sort of like, yes, it's the inverse, but more of like, it's a matriarchy. But like to the extreme of like Barbie Dreamland version of that. Whereas there's a point where they're like, where do the Kens live? And Barbie's like,
honestly,
I don't even know where they go.
Yeah.
Like, I have no clue.
And like, you know, like after a nice romantic day together, you know, like Ken wants to stay over at Barbie's place and she's like, no way, it's girls' night every night, and you know, go away, basically. And so it's like, yeah. So the Kens are like living to please the Barbies in the same demented way that, you know, women in a fundamentalist Mormon cult are like living to please the one.
Well, that's
guy.
What I think women like men that have a purpose that is more important than them. If a guy is like putting a woman before his purpose, eventually that woman will be like, I don't know if I can trust this person. You think that I'm the most important thing? Like, what is that? And just fucks it up. So it's like, she's really happy about the fact that he's just obsessed with her in the movie, right?
No, she doesn't even like it. She's not.
The Barbies like it?
The Barbies basically are like, what is the point of Ken to a large degree? Like, well, first of all, they're asexual. So like, that's another weird element of this movie is that it's all about like gender, like super extravagant gender binary, but like the Barbies in Barbie World and the Kens in Barbie World have no sex. They don't have genitals. So like they don't have that. So it's like the absence of polarity completely because nobody has sex.
But with strong gender stuff
where it's just like girls rule the world and like what are Kens? They're the thing.
So,
they're just a thing.
Yeah. So then Barbie goes on a quest to find her owner in the real world who's she's entwined with, who's making her sad. She's like, well, I have to go and, you know, make this person happy and they'll be happy to see me and I'll just go to the real world and do this. And Ken sneaks along with her. And once they're in the real world, Ken looks around and, you know, he sees police officers on horses and he sees like powerful businessmen making deals, making moves, making things happen. And he has this like grand epiphany of like, whoa, in the real world, men are powerful, they're autonomous, they make decisions, they have their own property, they have...
They ride horses.
He's, like, really about those horses.
There's a great line in there, David, where he, like, he's very interested in horses. And he's like, for a while, I thought patriarchy was just, like, all about horses. But then I realized it's just that horses are man extenders.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's deep. I mean, when I like, yeah, so Ken realizes that the real world is basically the opposite of Barbie Land.
Yes. So while Barbie is still in the real world trying to connect with her owner, trying to find right. them,
it's like a little girl.
She thinks yes. she's looking for a little girl. It turns out she's looking for it's the mother of a little girl who. The mother works at Mattel, and the mother used to play Barbies with her daughter, but now her daughter is a teenager and hates her for no reason and is a super misogynistic teenager that was, like, really disturbing to
yes.
me.
Yes.
And, like, said something along the lines of, like, Mom, men hate women and women hate women. Everybody knows that.
I was like, the only thing we have in common is that we all hate women.
Yeah, it was so bizarre. I was like, are there young girls walking around thinking this? Like, I don't know, that never entered my mind before. But anyhow.
While Barbie is on a quest to connect with her owner who's making her have an existential crisis, basically, Ken returns to Barbie Land and tells all the Kens that the real world is awesome and men have power. And so the Kens just take over the Barbie dream house, turn it into the Mojo Dojo Casa house. They like start drinking beer and like
Brewski beers
and like serenading the Barbies. And basically the Barbies all become the Kens like servant maids. And the Barbies are like, wow, this is great. Now I don't have to make any decisions at all. It's actually hard to run the world. This sucks. It's so much better when the Kens do it. And the Kens just like take over into like a totally exaggerated, bro-tastic fantasy. And it becomes Kendom instead of Barbie Land. But then, anyway, so that's
so generally it becomes the toxic inverse of...
Correct. Yes. It becomes... Well, I mean, I think what
it sounds very alchemical in a sense, but you think it's just like a pure, like, unconscious fart of a movie? Like, it wasn't...
No.
I think it was, but, like, what I can't tell is, like, because towards the end...
The end was weird.
Like, much of the...
Spoiler alert.
Exactly. So I couldn't tell if this movie was, like, completely on board with its own, like, unvarnished girl power feminist agenda where, like, in the end, the Barbies reclaim Barbie Land and, like, reinstitute their constitution where only Barbies are in charge of government and no Kens are present at that vote and, like, it's just pure Barbie Land again. And they're just like, yay, order is restored and everything is great when the Barbies are in charge. Yay. And like, girl power, we saved the day by recreating Barbie Land. Or if it's like aware that Barbie Land is as completely messed up and ugly and weird and plastic and unreal and mean as Kendom. Because it's very obvious that Kendom is what nobody likes about patriarchy. But do we also realize that Barbie Land is a dystopia that sucks? Like, are we all aware of that? Like, I couldn't tell.
What was the director and the writer aware of that?
It didn't seem that the director and the writer were aware of that so much.
It was made by Hollywood.
Yes, it's made by Hollywood. It's
ideas about
it. Right, so one of the things that made me really sad was, like, in the end, at the end of the thing, there's a moment where the creator of Barbie, Barbie's like, what's my purpose and what's the end of my story? And the creative Barbie is like, well, I'll tell you the end of your story is that Barbie loves Ken. And, like, I was like, yes, Barbie does love Ken. That is true. Barbie loves Ken. And Ken loves Barbie. Because that's, like, part of the sadness of the whole thing is that Ken clearly, like, Ken is really representing the, like, devotion of the masculine to the feminine. He's like, I just think you're awesome, Barbie. Like, I want to come to your dream house. Like, you're cool. I would do anything for you.
What's his line? It's like, I only exist.
Oh, at the end, he's like weeping. He's like, I only exist in the warmth of your gaze. And like, I was like, yes. And Barbie should return and respect that devotion. Respect the devotion elevate Ken with her love.
Right. So the ending that would have made sense and would have been alchemically satisfying to me is if Ken had said that to her. And she was like, wow, Ken, I never realized, like, your devotion is worthy of so much respect. Mm. And, like, the way that you support me and all of the things that you can do. And you believe in my dreams. And you can help, you know, you have dreams of your own. And we can realize them together. And it's so amazing. Like, instead of saying that and, like, then, you know, magically getting genitals and making a bunch of babies and, like, you know, having, you know, because they kept showing, like, the Supreme Court was, like, first it was a bunch of Barbies and then it was a bunch of Kens and then it changed back to a bunch of Barbies. You know, it could have been, like, a happy little mix of little Barbies and Ken babies grow up to be on the Supreme Court. But instead, Ken makes this beautiful, loving speech to her. And she's just, like, she doesn't reciprocate the love or the respect or the devotion. And she's just like, you need to learn to be okay with yourself without me, Ken. And which is what he was trying to do with this whole horse cult thing.
Exactly. That's exactly what he was trying to do, but nobody liked what Ken was all about. That wasn't good enough. But yeah, so that was weird. Right, and so in the end, it's like they are super polarized. And they don't join, mm-hmm. and then there's just Barbie's doing Barbie stuff, and Ken's doing Ken stuff in a still Barbie-controlled world, mm-hmm. and, like, lame. Like and, they're and separate.
So, and so then, though, at the end, Barbie does magically get a vagina. But instead of, like, learning about this through Barbie having sex or masturbating or experiencing a surprise menstruation or something, we learn about this by she's in the real world and she goes to a gynecologist appointment.
What?
Which is the worst part of having a vagina, which is, like, immediately inserting, like, the bizarre technocracy, rather patriarchal, too, like, that's... into the vagina having celebration. And like, I'm just like, this is not the fun part of this, is weird. Because, and it got me thinking about, because, you know, like Layla was talking about how the movie was so much about gender, but with this like weird elimination of sex, which does go hand in hand with the fact that like the Barbie and Ken dolls don't have genitals. But like the it got me thinking about how, like, a huge thing that has propelled modern feminism and was perhaps inevitable with the evolution of humans, whatever, is the technology that allows women to not be in the motherhood position. Because the movie starts with, you know, it's little like girls little girls play... with baby dolls.
Right. As long as there have been little girls, there have been baby dolls. There have been dolls, and they've always been baby dolls. And so little girls pretend to be mothers. And then it's like, but that gets boring, doesn't it? Like, it's boring to be a mom with a baby. That sucks. And then along came Barbie, who's like a beautiful, fashionable, completely young, totally independent, awesome woman Barbie. And then little girls could be anything. They didn't just have to be mothers. They could be whatever Barbie was. And that's like the revolution.
And that indeed happened. And it's also so interesting to me how that revolution was facilitated by a number of things, right? Like the Industrial Revolution that made it so that like men's direct muscular labor was not necessarily correlated to production. So like women could like run.
Become typewriters, right. And run machines, operators.
And also that, you know, the invention of birth, of, you know, modern medical birth control and abortion. So it's like these technologies, you know, within the past, whatever it's been, like 150, 175 years, have removed the consequences of sex in a dramatical way that they were not hitherto removable for humans. And it's within that like technology facilitated
sterilization of sex and femininity, basically,
that the whole possibility of women abusing men has arisen in the, you know, it's just so it is interesting. Like, there's, like, I just find it interesting now to think about how, like, you know, women, there's far more women succeeding in higher education than men right now. There's women in pretty much every profession. And even, like, the Mattel Corporation in the movie, like we were talking about, like, I guess Mattel was satirizing itself and had this, depicted itself as this board of all men, these, like, dour corporate dum-dums who were out to get Barbie. But, you know, in real life, the Mattel board is, like, 5 women and 6 men, apparently. So it's a fairly even split. Like, women have full voting rights, property rights, everything. There's things that feminists still don't like. Like, for example, you know, a lot of liberal feminists would want pure, unfettered access to abortion at all times and all situations. And that's not the case currently. But it's like, that's... I mean, there's other women voting against that who have other religious views and are not into that. Women have full voting rights, and if women were in total agreement about that, they could have it, but they're not. Anyways, it's just like really fascinating to me. Like,
it was like
the movie was portraying like they got this like girl power rise out of things by like acting like, you know, this world still has so much oppression for women in it. And the way that that was dramatized in the movie was like, you know, Barbie gets sexually harassed by some construction workers and some dude comes up and slaps her on the ass. And I'm thinking, like, that's really it. Like, that's the extent of what we have to, like, for to still feel like underdogs in the great quest for rights, because truly all of the civil rights are there. So then what just remains is whatever, like, poor taste, bad behavior of people.
Right, but that, like, but like what I really saw through that movie, and like I wonder how clearly they knew they were portraying this, was like, it was like Barbie Land was like the shadow world of the like patriarchal real world, where like the feminist movement likes to imagine the Barbie Land where Kens are just like superfluous, useless playboys who don't matter and who aren't as cool and interesting as them. In much the same way that, like, a fully invested, like, misogynist is like, well, what about the interiority of women? Does that even exist? Like, are they even people? Like, they're really equal and opposite. Mm-hmm. But, like, the fact that, like, Barbiedom turned into Kendom because of Ken's, like, frustration at not being respected, I was like, yes, exactly. The patriarchy exists because women disrespect men and it pisses them the fuck off and they're mad. Like, there's like, I don't know, like the disrespect of men completely coincides with like the oppression of women.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I hear you in the, absolutely, I absolutely agree with that. But I also think that, like, I mean, our, the world that we're in today is not a pure patriarchy.
No,
it's
not.
It is so not. It is like, there is very much, like, and I feel like the people, like, the film was, like, pandering to, like, I don't know,
some kind of complete narrative, yeah.
That like, somehow women are still really the underdogs in
this modern situation.
Right,
like, we live in Iran.
Right. It's like, that's not what's going on. That's right.
Well, every single man in that movie is, like, stupid. Or yes. Useless.
Yes.
Like, there were no examples of men that are, like, purpose-driven, protector, provider, honorable, integrous, which I guess is not the point of the movie. But, like, the Ken version of man is, like, sort of the lowest level of masculinity. Where they're not the sort of new age spiritual like feminized man, but they're more masculine than that. But they're like masculine boys. They're like, cars are cool and horses and like I'm gonna wear a big meat coat and do karate and like yeah.
Yes, they're but like boys.
They're also what I really liked and thought was interesting about our conversation last night in the car after the movie was how like they really want Barbie's attention. And, like, they value Barbie's attention, and there's so many things men do in the world that are actually about, like, you know what I really want is the validation and love and approval of women. But I think the whole, like, fucked up thing about our current patriarchy and past is, like, men have, like, also disrespected women and forgotten that. So they're doing the same things and getting money and success and, like, status, but have kind of forgotten that the reason, the core reason we want to do that is, like, because we want to be, like, loved and, like, protectors and providers for the feminine. So it did miss that part of, like, the polarity, and I agree with you about, like, it's sad that they didn't, like, get together. There was no alchemy of that.
Yeah, and it's like I felt like, you know, like Ken could have, or like Barbie could have respected and recognized Ken, and then Ken could have gotten inspired to take over the whole real world for her. He could have been like, wow, Barbie, I love you so much. I'm going to go out into the real world and make that place just as great as we are right here. You know, like, there's so much that that true love can do to inspire people. And I felt like the movie really left it on this, like, weird, confused note of, like, somehow still separate,
yeah,
self-seeking was the answer. And I guess, you know, whatever, it's like a 90-minute Hollywood movie. It's no big surprise. It doesn't have, like, all of the answers to life and the universe and the war of the sexes. But I'm glad that it made me think. And, I mean, Ryan Gosling is so fucking lovable in that movie. Like, I feel like he really does, like, steal the show. And, like, maybe, you know, maybe I'm disappointed in whatever the directorial viewpoint seems to be, or like that surfacey sort of like rah rah aren't we still so oppressed kind of vibe, but I do think that anybody who watches that movie, any woman especially, has to be like touched by like the devotional quality of Ryan Gosling, and has like, how could you not respect that? Like, there is something like inherently like romantic and deeply respectable about that vulnerable love that he shows her.
For sure. And there is actually something like sad. Like, I was saddened by the Barbie's like inability to recognize that, because they're just like all about their own, yeah, purpose and like their own accomplishments and their own Barbie land dream world. And they just like can't even see the value of like the other.
Well, which also brings us around back to the weird attitudes towards motherhood and family in the movie.
Right.
So, like, yeah, so right. So modern technology has saved us from automatic requisite motherhood, liberated us.
Forced breeding.
Yes. Liberated us into motherhood as a choice. But then this...
Pulling out has existed since the dawn of time.
Right. No, for sure. For sure it has. But yeah, so I mean, that's why people talk about like birth control and things as like like enforced like regimes of like sterilization.
Yeah. Well, that too. So anyways, so like going back to that, like the movie starts out with this like breaking of the baby dolls and the exaltation of like this... of the Barbie who can do whatever she wants. And then there's like Barbie's pregnant friend Midge, who's just like so weird. I don't know, there's some comment about how we, you know, we didn't make more of Midge.
Because a pregnant doll is just like way too weird and upsetting.
Yeah. Like, okay. And then you know, which implies like pregnancy itself is weird and upsetting. There's like a certain like note of that.
Right.
And then,
cause it implies sex, Carolyn.
Yeah. It implies sex, and it implies in pregnancy, a woman is actually quite vulnerable, quite physically vulnerable, and like does not have the get up and go to be running Congress or whatever. Like, at least I sure don't. Anyways. And, you know, it's a vulnerable condition in which women have, you know, classically required the help of the men who got them pregnant was, like, usually the solution to this.
How shameful. How disempowering. Right. How terrible for women.
Right. But it's, yeah, just a product of our interdependence as mammals. And so that, and then... Then, right, there's the teenage girl who's just, like, the story just seemed to, like, take it for granted that she hates her mother. Like, that didn't need any explanation, that didn't need any, like, you know, opening. I was just like, oh, well, of course, a daughter hates her mother. Duh.
That's what, like, daughters do, is hate moms.
I just thought that was extremely bizarre, because it's not like the mom was abusive or anything. The daughter just hates her, is ashamed of her. And then, so there's this, like, little thing about, so there's this, all this, yeah, this weird stuff about, like, family and the distastefulness of it. And then, but then there's, like, this sentimental montage of, like, mothers and daughters connecting via their love of Barbie.
And wasn't it also so weird the way that, like, the mother and the daughter were, like, quite disrespectful and dismissive of, like, the dad in their family?
Yes.
Like, I thought it was, like, I thought it was just, like, a single mom with her daughter, but then they were like, oh, yeah, what about dad? And they, like, showed dad, but they were like, who cares about dad? Dad doesn't matter. And I was like, do we all agree that that's normal, or do we agree that, like, the situation of men as this father and Ken, like, is deeply fucked up?
Well, that's
like,
what
do we understand that that's fucked up, or are we, like,
well,
thinking
like
this is cool?
It sounds like a terrible propaganda movie that's destabilizing traditional family values and encouraging the depopulation.
But like,
yeah, the conclusion that I came to at the end was, I was like, oh, we're just supposed to continue to be at war with each other and be sexless, hyper gender focused robot,
sterilized
non-humans that, like, imagine that we're not, like, only human beings when we're, like, merged as, like, units.
Better to never have a baby than to love and need one another.
Exactly.
Right.
Correct.
That is the ethos. But so the movie was, so simultaneously, while the movie did seem to be propagating that ethos, which is a pure reflection, like, I felt the condition of the Kens in Barbie Land was, like, an accurate portrayal of what has been done, like, of the current pop culture mainstream attitude towards men.
Yes!
Is that they are these frivolous accessories, and that was what was represented in the attitude towards the dad, was
yes.
He was just, like, this pointless guy who was around.
Yes!
And so, like, that... Right, so the movie seems to be, like, endorsing it.
Right, is the movie endorsing it, like, Barbie is a hero? Or is the movie aware that Barbie is insane and the whole situation is deeply fucked and it shouldn't be that way at all? Like, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell.
Well, the better question is, what will the audience, like, what's the takeaway? Because last night, you in the car, you
were
like...
What's the effect? Like,
yes.
This sort of programming and spell casting, how is it going to...
Is it fucked up enough that people are like, wow, this is fucked up?
I mean, I think the reason why it's a popular movie is because there is that sort of, like, vibrating dissonance between, like, what is emotionally portrayed and what seems to be, like, the narrated... And the, like, the ending, like, there is this, like, you know, ambiguity there, which the human mind loves.
Exactly, and even, like, more demented and fucked up is that, like, okay, maybe, you know, and I've noticed this in movies in general over the last, like, 5 to 10 years, that, like, where in the past you would have seen that at the end, the, like, male and female lead fall in love and there's, like, a union and it's the, you know, happily ever after. We've decided that that trope sucks and we don't need any more of that. That's just childish nonsense that, like, a man and a woman would love each other and, like, be happy together. No, that's the kind of program we don't want. Now, like, people, you know, they become friends or, like, somebody does something completely different and there's not that union. And so, of course, in the Barbie movie, there wasn't that union. But then not only is there not the union, but only Barbie gets to become human. Like, Barbie tells Ken, you need to go find out about yourself and you need to learn what it is to be Ken without Barbie. But presumably he stays in Barbie land to do that. Whereas Barbie decides that she wants to become real and become a real person and actually incarnate into the normal real world and get a vagina and go to the gynecologist because that is, like, the most wonderful. But so she gets to become human. Whereas Ken, like,
Ken doesn't get a penis.
They could have even come through the portal together and not ended up together immediately, but, like, they could have both become human. But, like, only Barbie got to go through and become human. So, like, there is this, like, weird... Does the movie know that it was, like, deeply misandrist? And is it fine with that? Or is it trying to make us aware that this is a problem?
Well, so, yeah.
And that's what I can't tell.
So that's an open question mark. What I will say is it seems like the liberal media stuff reviewing the movie, because I went on binge and I was like, oh, okay, let me go ahead and I haven't read Slate or Salon for years because they started to disgust me, but let's just take a look. What are they saying about this movie? They seem utterly gleeful about the misandry, like utterly gleeful.
This is a terrible mistake. Did we learn nothing from the Kendom uprising? Exactly. Like, did we learn nothing from
that's,
the movie?
Yeah, that's exactly like, yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, it's a terrible cultural mistake because it's like, how could that kind of attitude produce anything other than like horrible, you know, resentment and, you know, like attack from like whatever reactionary forces that you think that you're doing a jig on their grave. Like you're not. Like half of humanity still exists and is perfectly capable of taking some kind of revenge for this terrible attitude.
I know. Like, I mean, I went and saw this movie with Carolyn and my lovely husband, Rory, and I was like, I feel sad for him as we are sitting here watching this movie because this movie is rude and disrespectful to Ken. To all the Kens of the world, it is disrespectful. And I was like, you know, maybe 10 to 20% of the audience at the movie was male. And I was like, what are they feeling right now? Like, this feels not good.
Well, what it got me thinking about, too, is that, you know, the problem is not so much matriarchy or patriarchy. Mm-hmm. The problem is that humans, after all these years, or at least in this cultural situation, don't know how to love each other. And that this seems to be connected to, you know, it's like, I was just thinking about, so we're all students of Dr. Robert and Dr. Luzette, and they teach a lot about emotional enmeshment and like what it takes to like stop being emotionally enmeshed to the point where you're like passive aggressive and people pleasing and instead learn
to... Another word is codependent.
Codependent.
That you're a lot more familiar with.
Yeah, yep. Stop being codependent and start being, you know, like assertive rather than aggressive or passive, just like asserting your own desires, being honest about what you feel, want, and think so that somebody else can like truly know you and, you know, respond to you as you are without you trying to control them or them trying to control you. And it was just really, well, something that was really deep for me was like, before this movie came out, before it was a glimmer in our eyes, we had joked a little bit about how like Robert and Luzette are like Ken and Barbie. They're like
enlightened master
Ken and Barbie. Like, they're both so cute. Oh my God. They're so cute, and they live in Southern California, and, you know, we would, and but what blew my mind was, you know, and Luzette is, like, a beautiful,
former model, just beautiful, and, like, could you think of a handsomer, like, septuagenarian Ken than Dr. Robert? I don't think so.
Almost octogenarian
Ken.
You know, they are definitely what
doing
Ken and
beach
Barty could
doing
the beach. Yes, they're definitely the beach version.
Today is their anniversary,
and they're at the beach.
And they are
doing beach.
They're doing beach. And,
beach.
And
happy anniversary.
So, happy anniversary, Robert and Luzette. If you're listening, we love you. And what also blew my mind is that in the movie, there's scenes at the Mattel corporate headquarters in Los Angeles. And very recently, you know, in the spring, and even more recently, you guys were out there, we were at the Hilton Garden Inn in El Segundo, which is a stone's throw away.
It's across the street.
It's across the street from the Los Angeles Mattel headquarters.
Weird.
And so just in the bizarre fractal holographic of reality, enlightened master Ken and Barbie are teaching the classes on, you know, healing and communication and like relational honesty.
And they have the most beautiful and amazing love and reciprocal appreciation for each other.
They create such joy in each other. Yeah, it's adorable.
Inspiring, honestly.
Wildly inspiring. And they're teaching it right in the shadow of the Mattel headquarters. So that gives me hope that they are, you know, part of this fractal hologram that is apparently blossoming in human consciousness right now. That even though this movie's directorial viewpoint seems to be kind of off, there is still
Like, do they know that it's a dystopia? Like, that's what I really, that's what I want to know.
They're not very individuated. And
in order to know that it's a like, you have to be able to hold the balance of the opposites to really understand that. Like, this is what I feel like I've understood more and more about what's so messed up in our culture, which is that everybody is so about their own team, right? Like, team conservative, team liberal, team feminist, team red pill man, team whatever. And they, and people get into these, like, weird little tunnels where everybody else's interests are, you know, completely don't matter as much as their own, which is just, you know, classic human one-sided selfishness. Like, in order to be a fully cognizant, conscious creature, like Jung said, all consciousness is consciousness of the opposites. Like, you just experiencing shit is not consciousness. Like, that's how whatever philosophers or scientists will often talk about it. That's called phenomenological consciousness. And he was like, that ain't it. All consciousness is consciousness of the opposites. You have to be, like, totally aware that, like, you are simultaneously alive and dead. You are simultaneously male and female. You are simultaneously human and divine. Like,
good and evil.
Good and
male
evil.
Male and female.
You're, all Ken of your Barbie. Pleasure creates pain. You are completely Ken and Barbie. Right, so anyways, most people do not have not cultivated, like, the tiniest flicker of actual consciousness.
Right.
Of, like, actual holding the awareness of the opposites and, like, living from a place that's like, well, you know, what's best for the whole?
Yeah.
Instead of, like, what's best for, like, my little corner.
Right.
I would have loved to see in that movie a little bit of, like, wow, we are being really shitty to Kens this whole time. Which I guess there was a little bit of.
When did that happen?
That didn't happen.
At all? I'm trying to remember.
No, they were just pissed. They were just like, what did those Kens do?
Yeah.
Fuck this shit.
Yeah.
We gotta come take revenge.
Well, for a while, the Barbies were, quote unquote, brainwashed into being happy to serve the Kens in Kendom. But that was, like, super terrible, and they had to be broken out of their, like, Stockholm syndrome.
Deprogrammed.
But was there a point where, like, Margot Robbie, stereotypical Barbie, was sort of like, oh, like, she was kind of like, Ken, you can sleep over at the dream house sometimes. Like, there was a little bit of that.
But yeah, but she was also like, I don't love you.
I know. And I feel like it would have been, I really
I wanted to see Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling lay inertly on one another, having what we all know is Barbie and Ken's supreme intercourse, just plastic in their beds. I wanted that to be part of the movie so bad, or, like, maybe weirdly scissoring in, like, the way that we all know we made Barbie and Ken have sex. But that did not happen at all. There was not even inert plastic Barbie and Ken lump rubbing.
Like, Carolyn, what you're saying about the teams, I feel like going back to the whole, like, push the counter-dependence movement of, like, the romantic get-together at the end. It sort of seems to have become this thing culturally where, like, if the man and the woman get together, then, like, the woman is betraying her team. Like,
yes!
That's not okay anymore to, like, hold up the, like, union of romance.
No,
it's
romance is for
one. If you're a housewife and there's a guy that works and takes care of you, like, that's not an acceptable victory.
Exactly.
Anymore. In the mainstream.
Right.
I would say more and more that bubble is popping and crumbling, and people are like, wait
a minute.
This can be functional and healthy and awesome and hot. But the movie sounds like is like no to that.
Yeah, the movie seems like a hard no to it. But like I said, I'm still hopeful because what seems to be impeding this is not really political anything. It really seems to be like our lack of individuation, our lack of ability to hold the opposites, our lack of ability to know how to truly love instead of being in these weird reactive codependent formations. And truly, like, those formations have kept us miserable for thousands of years, but we know that built into this fractal holograph that's blossoming currently right now through this film that takes place at Mattel headquarters, and there is, you know, there's the medicine of Robert and Luzette built into this poison.
Enlightened.
It's there.
At least
it will be found.
A mirror. If the collective unconscious looking at itself, it's a mirror of that.
It's yes.
And 100%. I think it's possible that we've only been miserable for the last, like, few hundred years, and that, like, we actually had shit figured out before. I don't think we should just assume we were always miserable.
All right, sure. I don't know. Who knows? It's hard to know. I mean, I did watch a lot of those Mormon fundamentalist cult documentaries lately to remind myself that, yes, real patriarchy truly does
suck. Kendom is alive and well in this reality.
Kendom is not the appropriate answer to Barbie Land.
Kendom is not the answer to Barbie Land, but neither is Barbie Land the appropriate answer to Kendom. They will just continue creating each other over and over again, and no one will be happy.
They're both juvenile.
They're both immature.
Yeah.
See, I really want a sequel, maybe called Barbie and Ken. Or maybe Ken gets a penis, where, like, because he deserves it. I just have a lot of thoughts about Ken, but I think they gave him that moment of sort of, like, self-enlightenment that was very vapid, where she was like, you need to find yourself without me.
It was and so weird. I had no idea what was happening.
I agree that, like, the devotion is very sweet, but kind of going back to what David said at the beginning, like, there is something to, like, for the masculine to feel connected to purpose and then also have that devotion. Like, if he's just the devotion, there's not, like, still worth something. There's not a whole lot there. But then his, like, self-awareness and purpose was like, oh, I'm Ken. I'm Ken. And I'm like, what does this mean? This is completely empty. So I want a sequel where Ken finds his purpose. Maybe he reads Way of the Superior Man. Starts a men's group with the other Kens, and then comes back and is like, Barbie, like, I'm ready to be your husband. And she's like, oh, shit.
I'm ready to be your groom husband.
I'm ready to be your groom husband. And she's like, I'm ready to be your bride wife.
That was adorable. That was, tell David about that adorable part.
Well, the two options, I don't know exactly which part.
In Kendom.
Oh, in Kendom. Okay, well, in Kendom, the two roles that Barbies can have are, they can either be bride wives or long-term, long-distance, low-commitment girlfriends. Those are the options.
Bride wives.
Yeah, they can be bride wives or long-term, and long-distance, low-commitment.
Like, I don't know, are you my bride wife?
Long-term, long-distance, low-commitment girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really sad because, like, when... Well, first of all, Barbie's trying to trick Ken. So Barbie is trying to deprogram the other Barbies, and she goes to the Mojo Dojo Casa house, which was formerly Barbie's Malibu dream house. And she says to him, like, okay, Ken, I'm ready to be your long-term, long-distance, low-commitment girlfriend. And I was like, that's so sad. And Ken's like, oh, cool, one second. And then he goes inside. He's like, yes! Awesome! And then he comes back out.
He says, sublime!
He says, sublime! That's right. He says, sublime! And then he comes back out and he's like, ultra cool. Like, I'll have to think about that, Barbie. But, like, I just thought it was so sad because I was like, in Ken's heart, he wants Barbie to be his bride wife. And Barbie is like, you know what I would rather have? Is I'd rather be a long-term, long-distance, low-commitment girlfriend. That's, like, much better for me. And it was just making me think about how, like, yeah, that sucks. And, like, nobody likes that. But, like, somehow that is the, like, more, you know, woke-approved identity for a strong, independent woman is to be a long-term, long-distance, low-commitment, no... like, expectations, chill girlfriend.
Yes, it was very strange.
I don't know if we want to bring this in, but now I'm thinking about the Omrupani wife-girlfriend archetype thing.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, just talking about how, like, a girlfriend... like, girlfriend is a not-real archetype. It's a false archetype. Or it's, like, a training wheels archetype to become a wife. Like, before... you know, when you're young, it makes sense to be a girlfriend. But if you just stay in girlfriend mode your entire life...
you're probably not with a man you respect enough to, like, actually be in the husband-wife...
well, and you don't really respect yourself enough to believe that you deserve that kind of commitment and, like, seriousness and, like, co-created purpose.
Yeah, so
and devotion, basically.
There's a lot more to be said about that. I guess as we approach our hour mark where the app cuts us off, I just wanted to note two brilliant things about the movie that were just really amazing. One, that they pretended that fat Barbies ever have been a thing or yeah. ever existed. Like, they were just fat girls who were Barbies. And I was like, well, that would have been great if that was ever a thing, but it's like totally not.
Totally not.
And then, I mean, I guess they made like different body type Barbies. They have like curvier Barbies, mm-hmm. but there was not just like fat Barbies
no.
who were spherical in shape.
Spherical.
I mean, I'm not trying to hate on anybody. I'm just saying, like, a more body type that's not just, like, exaggerated curves, but is just, like, roly-poly body type.
Yeah.
It's not been part of the Barbie universe, but there were Barbies in the movie. So, anyways, it was doing this, like, weird move of, like, I guess.
We're so inclusive of all kinds of Barbies, but, like, in reality,
no.
No,
not at all.
That's not what Barbie is.
And then, so there's that move. And then, more sincerely, the amazing move of like showing how terrible Kendam was with that Matchbox 20 song.
Oh,
I'm like, gonna push you around. Well, I will. Well, I will.
I wanna take you for granted.
How about it? Like,
yeah.
Every time, like, I'll be like at a grocery store or something, that song will come on, and I'll be like, why is this allowed to poison the airwaves with its like weird, whiny, resentful abusiveness? This is so awful. It's like an accepted song. So anyways.
But it's so interesting because like that is kind of what the Barbies were like towards the Kens.
Right, and it
like,
engenders that. It engenders that inner resentfulness. That's what Barbie Land engenders, is that childish, resentful response. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the movie.
I enjoyed it immensely.
I mean, it was so much pink. How could you not enjoy it?
It was beautiful.
It was exquisitely spectacular. Like
the Ken dance number was my favorite.
That was really good.
I mean, I would totally see it again. I would like.
I would definitely see it again too, just to try to more deeply understand. Like, did this amazing mirror of the collective unconscious movie? Does it know? Does it know about itself? I really can't tell. That's my favorite. That's like the deep mystery of the movie for me.
That is a great question. And maybe, you know, maybe also on an optimistic note, maybe the movie itself doesn't need to know in order for it to have an ultimately worthwhile mm-hmm. alchemical effect on the consciousness. You know, because we're having this conversation. And I think there's been a lot more of these conversations about the state of, you know, relations between men and women.
Gender affairs.
By the movie, yeah.
So sex affairs.
Who knew the Barbie movie was going to be like this?
Yeah, I really did not think it would
it's
be a
cool.
provocative conversation starter. I thought it was just going to be another little piece of fluff.
It was an existential dystopia
yes.
disguised as a children's movie. I mean, it wasn't a children's movie. I would not call it a children's movie in any way.
PG-13.
Yeah. Definitely not.
Well, hearing you all talk about it, I think I don't want to see it. And I'm resolved to study much more of Indo-European history and the invention of the wheel and the domestication of the horse.
Horse. Exactly.
I mean, that's what Ken's purpose could be. Ken could be like, Barbie... I'm gonna like, you know, start a wild
horse
sanctuary.
Sounds like the
sanctuary.
Best part of the movie.
It was so great.
You should see it, David, because in Kendam there was just big screen TVs everywhere with galloping horses
Stallions.
On like repeat, just everywhere. Just
I was watching it, being like, David told me some really profound stuff about men and horses one time, and like,
and Ken immediately went into the world and was like, yes. Yes.
Ken's
the horse.
Ken, yeah, Ken's like going into the Odinic mysteries.
Yeah.
He's got this like crazy shaman fur coat.
Exactly.
He's wearing this like horseshoe horse medallion thing.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
Basically, Ken was pure and lovable.
Yes. Very innocent.
Very wonderful.
Innocent. But
he would just rode a horse. Yes, rode a horse off into the distance. I wonder how that would have affected the rest of the movie's plot with no Ken.
Right, if all the Kens had just left. Instead of trying to take over Barbie Land, they had just left Barbie Land alone.
That's like that's apparently a whole little movement within the Red Pill subsection is MGTOWs, men who go their own way. It's something about like this movement to get men to just like ignore women. Because women have behaved so badly lately, I guess, is the idea.
That makes sense. I mean, honestly, I felt bad for Ken.
I felt,
like, in a truly human way, I was like, this is wrong.
I felt sad that, like, what was disappointing to me was I was like, I do hope that, like, women don't actually, like, or people in general, men and women, don't see... Like, the horse thing is silly, but it's also pointing to something that is, like, deeply culturally symbolic and profound and beautiful. And I'm like, are most people just like, yeah, men like horses, that's stupid, like, they're little boys. It was very infantilizing for men. And if people see it and are like, wow, like, we are treating men that way and that's fucked up. Or men are like, we're treating women that way and that's fucked up. Great. But if it reinforces... the like legitimacy of seeing things that way, that makes me sad.
Yeah. Well, that was like the Barbies were like almost too sympathetic, where the Kens were like pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
But both Barbie and Ken are like equally degraded versions of the men and women that they represent. And the fact that like the Barbie sized version of women is like okay or like acceptable is as troubling to me that the Kenified version is like laughable or like they're both upsetting. Like both the Barbie and the Ken caricature are messed up, but like the glorification of the Barbie seems confusing to me. I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense, yeah, yes. But like,
yes,
neither of them are real or healthy, and we shouldn't be like, yay, Barbie, Ken sucks. Like, Barbie also sucks. That's also not real. Anyway, you should go see it if you haven't seen it already.
Have some deep thoughts. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Please go ahead and like or follow or tell your friends about the Sleepover podcast. We're gearing up for the next application round for the mystery school. I have to grab something. Would you tell them about that?
Oh, yes. We are gearing up to open enrollment for Sleepover Mystery School 2024. Promises to be an amazing, great time. I just actually recently saw that Netflix came out with a series of episodes about how to become a cult leader. And I promise that our cult is way cooler and not scary like that. and totally a safe, fun cult to join. If you've ever felt like it might be a super cool thing to do with your lifetime is to say that you are a member of a cult that won't ruin your life, but will only make your life way, way, way better and cooler. Check us out so that you don't accidentally get sucked into a really fucked up cult. And anyway, become much more cult proof and more integrated.
And so that you can afford to join our cult, the money course is on sale right now for 2 days only. And you can find the sales page on the email list or through the Instagram, and you can get right with the spirit of money and pay to join our cult.
That's right. That's exactly right. Perfect.
All right, well, it all ties up pretty neatly there. I mean, the thing is that every cult says they're a good cult, you know what I mean? It's like every cult is like, we're the cult you can trust.
Oh, for sure. For sure, but like...
they don't usually call themselves cults.
Exactly. The cults that you have to be worried about tell you that there's something way more innocent than that. Definitely the honesty that you're experiencing here is a sign that we can be trusted.
Listen to us. We're the innocent.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.